All right, good evening to all those folks on BBS Radio. My name is Gijs Minderhout, calling in from Magalia, California. This is the Monday evening get-together with a group of old friends from Winfree, and we are glad that you're participating with this call. This is, as usual, a simulcast for the conference call. We heard another ding. That means another caller joined in on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Good evening, Terry Brown.
Hi.
How are you?
All right.
Oh.
All right.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome.
Thanks.
All right. Fantastic. So here we are. Worldwide live through BBS Radio. I thank you for making this possible for us. I welcome all those who are listening in online. And I welcome to the next call here on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie in Corona.
Hello to you, Bonnie. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good. I'm glad to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you for being here. And more people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda.
California.
Welcome to the call, Dharmananda.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for being here. And I heard a lady's voice. Please say your name and location.
Catherine from California.
Good evening to you, Catherine. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Good evening.
All right. So, in the meantime, we are at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and we are waiting for Mr. Free from Sedona to fly in. No sound of the helicopter yet. Let us be patient. Terry Brown, do you know about when his whereabouts?
Yeah, he's calling in right now.
Awesome. Glad to hear that. Thank you. So let's see if we have received an email yet. No, I have not, so I do not know what the topic is. I believe that he was going to have a conversation with Marilyn from Arizona. I believe that he said it yesterday, but the plan might have changed. We will know here shortly. And I want to mention to all those who are listening, particularly those online, we do also a Wednesday call. If you have questions, please submit those on the provided email address in the announcement email. It is same time, 5, 6 Pacific. Pacific. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley, Arizona.
Hello, Shirley. Still in Arizona. How are you?
Oh, better.
All right. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
All right. More people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hey, this is Louie.
Do I hear Chris from Memphis?
You sure do.
All right. Welcome to the call, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Did I hear Wynn as well?
Wynn?
More. I see more of phone lines came in. If you want to, please say your name and location. I guess. Yes, really.
Guess on? Testing.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Catherine again. I dropped off.
Welcome back, Catherine.
Jeez.
All right, so. Wynn, I believe you're here, but I cannot hear you.
I am here.
Fantastic. Glad to hear you. Thank you for being here, Wynn, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
I wish I
didn't
hear
BBS yet.
We are on BBS. Yes, we are. All right. I'll turn over the dings.
Okay.
All right.
Starting in just 1 second here.
All right. Again, I thank you all for being here on the phone line on and on BBS Radio and listening to the replay. Welcome back, Terry.
Thank you.
All right. All right.
Yeah, my headset's not here.
All of a sudden, you have an echo going on, Terry.
I do. Okay.
It's probably just I'm here.
All right.
We are in Phoenix today.
Uh-huh.
And we just got here. And, you know, we had it timed perfectly. I'll just point this out, okay? Hang on a second.
Your sound is not optimum, but it might change when the lines.
When we meet people, huh? Okay. Music, conference music. I have a song I was just going to upload to play.
Okay, and in the meantime, I will mute the lines. And we are not recording yet.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, as we wait for a particular song to be uploaded.
Okay, we're uploading.
All right.
And if you will start the recording.
Here we go. When you're ready for that, you know the dates?
Let's check it.
All right.
This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everybody. It's Wynn and Terry in Phoenix. And you know what? We didn't send our email out. And excuse me. And, you know, it has to do with priorities. We schedule ourselves to come down to Phoenix because Terry Friedman's in the hospital. And we wanted to go visit him. And we got here just exactly at 5:30. And as we were getting out of the town, out of the car, there was this guy who was all stooped over and carrying these two shopping bags. And I looked at him and I said, he is really struggling. There's something wrong with his health, his posture. And I said, I better help him. I went over and offered to carry his bags to his room, his two shopping bags. And then we walked all across the motel, got to the room, and the key didn't work. So now I have to go back to the front desk of the hotel, get the right key for the guy, find out he was actually in another room than he thought, until we got him into the room. So it took about 15 minutes. And Terry was waiting for me in the car. So we got in the room like 15 minutes ago. And so I didn't get the email out. And this is one of those things where I just had to do a judgment call. I could not help this guy. And so here we are. And I said yesterday, I didn't send the email out, but the more I look at the concept of discernment, the more important it is to talk about it. And I can say that if I wasn't doing these calls, if I wasn't cross-referencing things on the internet, if I didn't have the option to double-check things in channelings, you know, I don't usually quote channelings and say, believe this. But when I find things out then I cross-reference it. And I have to get everything in the right line before I'm willing to say something is true or not. And I would have to say that if I didn't do all this, including the channeling, that's only one part of it, though. If I didn't do this, I don't know how you can avoid not being tricked or fooled in this realm. And, Marilyn, are you on the line? Marilyn Lawrence. She's not here?
I didn't see her earlier. If she is now, then press star 6, Marilyn.
I don't see her, okay? Well, okay. So, some of the stuff I find out, I can't even tell you. If I told you, I probably would put my life in jeopardy, okay? And, but there is one, and I wanted Marilyn to do this with me because we have talked about this. And if you know Marilyn Lawrence, she is like one of our best helpers. She does the reading clubs. She recognizes what we do is important. And sometimes she has the idea, which I used to have this idea. I used to have it, but I understand it, that you really shouldn't look at anything negative. You should just emphasize the positive. And there is truth to that, except when you get too far up the ladder, you're now in the shadow of the negative. The negative matches you. You know, there is this idea of going beyond duality. And beyond duality has to include the negative and the positive. It does not mean that you have to participate in the negative, but you end up noticing it. It's kind of like when you go up this ladder, you become visible to both the higher sources and the lower sources. Now, at a certain point, you'll stay visible just to the higher sources. And I have asked, not recently, this was something I asked maybe a year ago, is there value to talking about the negative? And they said, yes. And I can see that they're right. They said, don't focus on it, but in terms of discernment, it's very important that people be aware of things. Because one thing about the negative is you could call them tricksters. And they have the ability to appear positive. And they have the ability to know how to endear themselves to you. And this is the song I uploaded. I'm going to play this song because it's kind of somewhat. Now, the thing about it is this works on a human level and it works on a cosmic level, okay, in terms of the negative. And we have all been fooled at one point in our life, for most of us. I certainly have. And I thought someone was trustworthy, and they weren't. And I went into a relationship, and it wasn't what I thought it was. And on a human level, when people are needy, and the negative will hide their neediness, and they will use anything they can do to con you out of what they need. And that, what do they need? They could need money, of course. They could need emotional energy and love. And it's okay to be needy. We all have our needy side. It's that, how do you relate to your needy side with other people? Like, do you want to trick them and make them give you what you need and act like you're not needy? This is, you know, this is really quite a challenge. But, it, you know, the song that came up is this one here. That's it.
Of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, tell lies, and I got proof.
Remember that one, Heis?
No, I don't.
Could you understand the lyrics?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an oldie, but goodie. Well, if we go, one of the things that started to compel me to talk about this stuff is a few weeks on Sunday, I asked, I'm going to get in trouble now, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to say what I think needs to be said. I asked, how many of you are Hillary? How many of you for Trump? And I was surprised at how many people were for Hillary. Now, this is not political. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I suggest that you might want to get a notepad and take some notes here, okay? Because if you're going to do searches on Google for things, there is one search engine that makes you anonymous. And since everything we do is going through NSA filters, I would caution to use an anonymous browser so that there's less chance of getting on a list, because they're making lists. They want to know who's seen through stuff. And I had been really searching Hillary for quite some time, Hillary and Bill. And I thought Smiling Faces is really a good song to apply to them, because I remember when Bill was elected president, I was thinking, how wonderful to have such an aware, smart, conscientious person who seems so loving and happy all the time. That's what I thought. And I'm sure many of you thought the same thing. And if you recall at that time, there were all these celebrities and famous people that were doing benefits, and so many people were hopeful that we had a president who was integrous, that cared, and he seemed like a new age person. And I identified with new age. What is new age? The world is going to become a loving place. We are on the verge of a shift. Everything's going to change. It's so hopeful. And that Bill seemed to represent that. And then on some of my searches, I guess over the past couple of years, I was finding things that painted quite a different picture of him and his wife. And, I mean, the thing about it is, can you trust what's on the Internet? Well, you have to do more than one search. You don't come to one site and say, this is true. And I don't, anyway. I know it's tricky. Sometimes you hear words out of someone's mouth, and it definitely is them, and you hear what they're saying, and did they really say that? Okay. And there is an idea that there are cabals, there are secret organizations, and sometimes they're called the Illuminati, and that they are controlling a huge amount of stuff on this planet. And I believe that's true at this point. And I have done lots and lots of research on this. And in general, it's not the main topic of our group, but yet we do live in this world. We live in 3D. And what happens here is going to affect us no matter what. The spiritual work we do might make a difference when we leave the realm. But while we're in the realm, we still have to cope with the reality systems here. And 3D is, as I'm learning more and more, in spite of the fact that we have a beautiful planet, in spite of the fact that there's so many beautiful people in this realm, and that there's beautiful people listening to our calls, in spite of that, 3D is really treacherous, really tricky. And I'll give you some, I brought up Hillary, and I'm not bringing her up politically here. I'm bringing her up for the facts. And as an example, just as an example, and use startpage.com and do your own searches, okay? And try looking up Hillary murder, Hillary emails, Hillary Benghazi. If you look up Hillary or Hillary and Bing murder, you'll find out when Bill was governor of Arkansas, there were a huge amount of people that had unusual deaths around his administration. And many of the people that had unusual deaths were people that were privy to his extramarital affairs, which he had numerous ones. And this one woman was suing him. I think her name was Paula Jones. And the trooper, I believe, who drove Bill around and knew where he was going, died just before the trial, an unusual death. But there were numerous people dying, I think like 50. I'm not prepared to get, you know, I haven't studied it enough to, you know, read it off here, but there was enough smoke in that and many, many, many websites documenting it. And then when he was president, there was a guy named Vince Foster that died, who was high up in the White House and worked very closely with Hillary and handling financial affairs, I believe. And he ended up committing suicide. He was found in a park, but everything about his murder was dubious, like the way the gun was pointed, that it looked like he was moved into the park. Just look it up. It's very convincing. And more recently, there is this thing about Hillary and her emails. Now, if anyone looks this up and really finds evidence that I'm wrong, please email me, okay? Because I couldn't find anything explaining this in a positive way. Look up Hillary Clinton lies, and you'll find her on different public things saying one thing and then saying just the opposite, then just saying just the opposite again. And but if we do the emails, I'm sure you probably heard about this email thing, but what are the details of it? The details are that government officials in high-up positions end up having a special email server that's very secure, that can't be hacked. Hillary chose to not use this email server. And she chose to put all her emails in a not secure email service that could be hacked. And she did it for thousands of emails. Now she was Secretary of State. She was getting all kinds of what would be confidential emails. Who is that? Oh, hello? We're fine, thank you.
It's okay. Probably Hillary.
No, the front desk thing. Just calling to make sure everything's fine with your room. I guess they liked me. I seemed like a really nice guy helping that old fellow. So, Hillary is under investigation by the FBI with criminal charges for doing this, for endangering national security. Because in some of these emails, there were people's names who were secret agents in different countries, that disclosing their names could easily get them killed. And yet, she had a totally disregard for this. She didn't care. And if this is true, that is, like, terrible. I mean, for a person that's running for president, particularly, you know? And many of the emails disappeared when she had to turn them over. And thousands of them. And there was never an explanation as to why they disappeared. And other people were finding out. Apparently, there was some backup that she doesn't know about or didn't know about, but other people were finding out that there was indications that she and Hillary both were taking big payoffs from foreign sources that would have been our adversaries. There was another indication that high-level diplomats in foreign countries would know she was using an insecure email service, and they could never email her without jeopardizing their own security. And then, because she was using an insecure email service, it was a message to every government in the world that they could get into her email. That's the idea. So they knew, you know, they knew she was doing it, as well as her assistant. So I looked at enough things on YouTube to be convinced that it was true. And I couldn't imagine thinking of Hillary as being president. Although she's got a wonderful smile, she's got a great personality, you know, she looks like she's really together, and there's something on a hidden agenda there that I'm convinced is really ominous. You do your own research. Go look it up. I don't care if you vote for her or don't. I'm not saying to vote for Trump. He's got his own issues. I didn't find a lot of unethical things about him. I didn't find stuff about him being a murderer or anything. But, you know, this is the tricky world we live in. And you've got to look beyond a smiling face, okay? And we can go, there's so many things. I know I started looking at these things. I went back. There's this idea of social engineering. Ever hear the word social engineering? Probably not. Well, another word could be trend control. If there is this long-term agenda by negative forces to take over our planet, and if there is this agenda to reduce the population of the planet, which I believe there is, and if you start looking for the evidence of it, you'll find it. It's there. Okay? And so this is been a long-term agenda. Part of the agenda started years ago. It started probably before this, but I got hooked into the agenda. If you recall, I used to be a student at Berkeley, and I was a student during the time of political hippies, Beatles music, and I was always wanted to make the world a better place. And some of you have heard my songs, have heard songs that you can feel that intent in myself. At some level, there were times when I think I was actually connected to the higher sources, but I didn't have the vocabulary or the understanding to put it in words that I could understand. It's just that I had all kinds of synchronicities and magic. Well, one of the things that, when I talk about social engineering, it was the beginning of the intentional breakdown of our society. So where on the surface it looks like we're cared about and the government's on our side and they wish the best for us, and at the lower levels, I'm sure they are on the people are on our side. You know, it's not, but at the higher levels, there was an ongoing agenda to start breaking things down, okay? And when I started looking it up, it just shocked me. I said, this can't be true. So what I found out was the introduction of drugs into this planet was part of this social engineering. And the intent, as I have learned it, was to break down the family unit. And why do they want to break down the family unit? Because people are not as strong when they're outside of a family unit. And drugs and LSD and everything. Now, I'm not saying there was no good to it. There was consciousness expanding and all this stuff. But behind it all was the breakdown of the family unit. Another thing that was the breakdown of the family unit, and you can look this up. You can look up drugs, New World Order, LSD, New World Order, women's liberation. You know, women and men are different. And women's liberation, an individual case, everybody can be anything, and each has their own individual path. So what I say is true for the consensus, but it's not true on an individual case. So if it doesn't fit you, it's okay. But in general, the family unit strengthens people. Why does the family unit strengthen you? Because it gives you fulfillment from the point of view of your home. You don't have to go looking around in the world for who am I going to sleep with tonight? What's my adventure today? And so you have a sense of balance. And men and women have a natural ability to balance each other sexually, emotionally, every which way. And when you don't have a home to get balanced in, you're strung out into the world looking. Now, one of the things that shocked me, especially since I'm a musician, is the Beatles, who I loved. And I was influenced by it. And I went through my drug period in those days. And then I found out that the Beatles were part of, now you're going to have to do your own research on this, okay? Let's look it up. Beatles, social engineering. Beatles, New World Order. They were part of a social engineering experiment. The idea was to create a hit group, a charismatic group, make them world famous, and then bring them into drug lyrics, okay? And to move the world, the young people of the world, into taking drugs, which was going to be part of breaking down the family unit. And if you looked at the Beatles, they did a great job of that. It's probably why some of them died unexpectedly, like John, like their manager. You can go on YouTube and look up Paul Fall, F-A-U-L. And there's almost no doubt that Paul was not the same person after 1966 as he was before 1966. And there was this idea that he was killed. If you remember in those days, there were all these rumors that Paul was dead. There were all these hidden messages on the Beatles album. And I think he was. He disappeared. Something happened. And it's like, as somebody that was into music and that loved the Beatles, it was amazing for me to discover that. Now, I'm not giving all the information here. You've got to go do your own research. And what I'm pointing out discernment and how I was fooled by many things when I was younger. And maybe this sounds really wild to you. Some of you, I'm sure it does. They say, how could this be? And yet, believe me, if you start doing Google searches, and remember, do it on start page, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at what you find with what I would call credible information, facts and figures. 911. Many people know at this point that 911 was not as it seemed. There's no way it could have been as it seemed. It had to have an agenda. There had to be some sort of complicity from our side. There were too many inconsistencies, too many. And I don't remember them all. I can list a couple of them. Yeah, I'll list a couple. First, they discovered an Arab passport in the rubble. And the name on the passport was actually ended up being an Arab that was still alive somewhere in some other country that never left his country. Second, there was all this stock trading. I think, what is it called when you bet on a stock going down? And so people were betting on the stocks going down of the airline, and it went up really drastically just before 911. But there was never any investigation. The fact that the buildings fell, like one floor falling into the other, supposedly. Just think about this. It was indicated that the speed of the fall, and you saw it was very fast. When you watched the plane hit and the whole building collapse, it was, seconds, right? And Steve Cannell selling the short sale on stocks on this. And how could it crash at the speed of brief fall if there was the time for one floor to fall into the one below it, to the one below it? We'd have to slow it down, okay? Aside from the fact that steel beams, lots of people, there's a whole group of architects and engineers that looked at all the facts of 911 and said, there's no way the official story could be correct. And then you find everything is in a pile of rubble. But the rubble does not, there's not enough rubble there to explain the whole building falling down. And why it should turn almost to dust. Essentially, the steel beams ended up being dust on the ground. And what's another one? Another one is our government was doing war games at the time. And the war game, as I recall, was let's imagine that a plane is going to hit a skyscraper. And then they told all of the control towers and all the airports, we're playing a war game. Imagine a plane is going to hit a skyscraper. So, of course, if they see planes coming in, then it would not create an emergency alert. They think it was part of this game. With the Pentagon, there are no pictures, not a single picture, real picture of a plane hitting the Pentagon. The hole in the Pentagon, I believe, was too small for the size of the plane that was supposed to hit it. There's loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of anomalies. And if you look at things like Sandy Hook, loads of indiscrepancies, loads. Like one picture that was kind of amazing on YouTube was they're showing Sandy Hook and all these people that look like they're milling around. But when you look closely, it's the same people going in circles. They're walking through the building, coming out the other side. And the idea that it was a staged event. They were actors. Now, I don't know how they pulled this off. I don't know how they got so many people to cooperate on it or what kind of threats they made. And some people say they did that so they could legalize gun control. They do these things for gun control. Now, there's this other thing where things are constantly predicted in television shows. Uncanny predictions over and over again. Like, if you look this up, you'll find a whole bunch of YouTube talking about with TV shows, The Simpsons. What's the other one? The South Park are two really big ones that constantly do this. And they have 911. They have the buildings falling down in the background, all kinds of stuff. One of the most amazing shockers is Walt Disney. And we all grew up with Walt Disney and his beautiful cartoons. And then when you go look at them, you find all this sexual imagery mixed in to the back of the cartoons. And it's shocking. Go look it up. Walt Disney sex on YouTube. And then you'll find today, like, if we look at the Beatles started out really innocent and wholesome and charismatic, and then they went into drugs, but they still were. They still had their charisma, okay? They still had their innocence. What's happened to music today? There's no innocence. We look at Miley Cyrus. We look at Rihanna. We look at all these women. And you will find in all their music videos, they are full of Illuminati symbols, okay? And all you got to do is look up music, Illuminati symbols, and you'll see it over and over again. They're using Illuminati hand symbols, handshakes, God knows what. And some of the biggest of these decadent stars came from the Disney factory, okay? And lots of indication that it was all done intentionally, and that they were using, they used movies, they used television as a way of mind controlling the masses. They used the media as a way of mind controlling the masses. And this is what social engineering is, mind control of the masses. And you could be working on your spiritual evolution, and you could be working on yourself, and if you don't know these things, you are part of passively being mind controlled. In the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, you will notice there's a whole chapter they did on television and the media, and talking about how you're in a circus, and you're in the ring, like that. What did they say? How did they describe it? It was very accurate, you know, that you're being manipulated and you're dancing to the tune of the television. If you go home every day and turn on the tube to put your mind at rest for whatever else you're doing, if that's part of your routine, there is no way that you are not programming yourself, and you don't even know you're doing it. So there's a huge amount of alternative news, and some of it is not presented very well. See, here's where it gets tricky. You start to figure out, try to figure out what's going on, and I'm saying look at YouTube. Then you have the negative sources actually putting disinformation out, making, you know, still manipulating. They just go to another higher level of manipulation. You know, what they do is they find a group that has validity and passion. Somebody will come in and start giving them money, and they start controlling that group. Like, there was indications that that happened with Occupy Wall Street. And as you go deeper into this, you find out that it's not just in the last 100 years. It's going through all of history. History is manipulated. And yes, I do know why. And I do know the intent. And one thing that Terry and I were talking about when we were driving here to Phoenix is a lady who's a friend of ours or an acquaintance in Sedona who believes she's going on flying saucers, and they're appointing her to be a commander. Like, all of these people that are saying flying saucers are going to save us. They can create holograms so people believe they're having an experience. And they make people very convicted of that experience. And this is tricky because you hear somebody talking with passion and conviction, and yet they got a programmed experience. You can't tell them that because they remember it like it actually happened. This is why discernment in this realm is such a challenge. And I think where Marilyn, I don't know if Marilyn got on this call or not. Marilyn, you were supposed to be being my, let me see here.
She's not here.
She's not here. Okay. Well, you know, many people would say, trust your heart. And I don't think I can trust my heart only to figure out these fine points. I think I could have never figured out the Beatles stuff because I love them. And they were so charming and they were so entertaining. And their songs were so good. You know, there's a theory that they didn't even write their songs, and the whole thing was a huge, huge manipulation. Okay.
Now, but you cannot blame the Beatles, right? I mean, they were controlled, correct?
Well, I'm not blaming them. Okay.
No.
This is not a matter of blame. It would be like any group that's playing in sleazy German nightclubs, and somebody comes in and says, you know, we're going to make you famous. I mean, everybody, who, including myself, when I was a struggling musician, thinking somebody's going to come in and make me famous. And what is not so obvious is the price you pay for the fame, okay? I mean, one of the things, you can look this up, you know, I play Bob Dylan songs on Sunday. I loved Bob Dylan when I was younger. You'll find an interview of Bob Dylan talking to somebody on PBS where he's saying he actually made a deal with the Dark to become famous. And they do have people make deals. And they give them, you look at some of the people that are really famous now. How did they get really that famous? Are they that talented? No. It's like, now it's a fame machine. All right, if you want to say anything, Clovis?
No. I just have another song. Are we done?
You have another slide? I hope it's the appropriate one, okay? I apologize for talking about all this, but, you know, one of the things that Carla Ruckert and I both agreed on is that ETs are not going to save us. And the Ra group and the Elohim group are not going to save us. And yet David Wilcock has implied that the Blue Avians are there to save us. David, as far as I'm concerned, is capitalizing on the Edgar Cayce reputation, which he was. But there's a key point that he doesn't address. And the point is, and both Carla Ruckert and I concur on this, I know this is true, to bring in a group soul, you need a group energy in this realm. Terry and I create a group energy. When we're together and we channel, you all help hold the energy. And it keeps the energy high and pure. Carla had a team around her, Jim McCarty and Don Elkins and other people, who would hold the energy. And guess what? Edgar Cayce had a team around him. He had his wife. He had his stenographer. And there was a Search for God group that was monitoring the Cayce readings. And Wilcock, in the book, said both Cayce and Wilcock had negative sources at different times. And, you know, they went and talked about Cayce's devastation prophecy as coming from a negative source.